Greetings, small group leaders. This recording is for Ephesians week one. It's the start of our new series, and it's quite exciting for all of us here in the office. And so I hope this is equally as exciting for your small group. So it's slightly a little bit different from what you're normally used to. So all the content is available for you to study in advance. However, the leader's resource, the recording and the written part will be put out on a schedule basis. So if you go to the leader's resource, you should be able to see the dates when certain content will be released. So you can come back and check our leader's resource for those. This is for Ephesians week one. Week two and three should come out next week. But so this is just for Ephesians week one. To remind you, the books are available by donation. You should have already received one as a leader or co-leader. If you have not, please get a hold of one as soon as possible, either contacting the office, contacting me, or they should be available in the lobby or in the resource center. Lobby on the weekend of April 2nd and 3rd, and the second weekend of April as well. We'll be in the lobby distributing books by donation. Encourage your small group as well to pick one up. Okay, we're going to go kind of right into it, into this. We're looking at the study question. So how it works is if you look through your book, you should see a how to use this book. Please be sure to refer to this when you have any questions. Prior to that, there is a introduction to the whole entire study of Ephesians written by Pastor Darrell. It's worthwhile to read through it, give you an overall picture, and then looking at the how to use the book guide, certain icons, how certain sections function, and what they're the purpose of those sections. So please refer to that as well. And then every single week, there should be a shorter introduction just to direct you to the study itself. Feel free to read that together as a small group. Read it before you start your study. And then when you get into the read section, in this case, let's just say page 12 of week one, you look through the read section, you'll see the actual passage that you'll study plus the different icons. Now, the icons, if you're not familiar with it, you can turn to the how to study part, or if you look at the bottom right of page 13, you will see a symbol guide, and the symbol guide will kind of help you out with regards to what each symbol represents. So one of the things that we're working on, it's somewhat a tweaking point for us in the future, is when you see a W, it's a word study. And sometimes there's a couple of different word studies. So if it's the font's a little too small, but if you look at it, you'll see W1 or W2 or W3 or something like that. In this case, in week one, you'll see W1 and W2. Now, W1 is the first word study and W2 is the second word study. I know looking at the icon, it's kind of hard to see it. We'll work on improving that going forward. So as a small group, be sure to read through the passage together with your group, at least identify the certain symbol guides and the icons, at least to familiarize with that. And then if you turn to the next page, which is page 14 of week one, here are your study questions. Now there's six study questions. Now small groups typically go about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Now you divide that time with prayer and so on. So more often than not, you won't be able to go through every single question. So there's six questions in the study. So please don't feel that you need to go through all six questions. If you want, go through, whatever questions you feel would be worthwhile and beneficial to your group. So if it's three questions or four questions, study ahead of time, pick your four questions, encourage your group to answer all the questions throughout the week. So let's just say you go through four and you don't finish the other two, they can study it on their own at home or with somebody else in the small group during the rest of the week. So I'm going to give you all six sort of guides to the six questions. And so, but by no means, again, you have to go through all six. So as a leader, use wisdom, guide them well, and pick Pick whatever, however many questions you feel would be beneficial. The reason why is because when you turn to the next page, which is the respond section, page 17, you have three respond questions. You don't want to do six study questions and have absolutely no time for respond questions. So it's important that you balance the two. Look at your respond section, see, you know, there's the three there, and it's really good. So let's go through all three, and let's break down our study to about three or four, and then that should cover your actual like conversation piece before you go into prayer or sharing and whatnot. So hope that helps a bit. We also provided memorization verse, which we strongly encourage your small group to be doing with one another, to be memorizing and then practicing your memorization with one another in your small group. So please designate some time for that. It shouldn't take too much time. Plus, it also allows people to connect on a one-to-one level. Okay. As usual, if you have any questions about anything, please email me at ahy@willingdon.org. Again, that's ahy@willingdon.org. Leaders Resources, it's on our small group webpage. It's in the form of a podcast and also the written form. This is just week one. We're getting this started, but going forward, week two to week eight, we're hoping to integrate a conversation piece with a couple of the pastors as well. So why don't we get started? So if you have your book with you, your Ephesians part one book, turn it to page 14. Again, that page 14. And we're going to go through all six questions. I'm sorry if it seems a bit rush. If it is, feel free to let me know at ahy@willingdon.org. Okay, question number one. To whom is the Apostle Paul writing? Why is this context important when studying spiritual blessings? So you've already read through the passage. And so to answer the question, to whom is the Apostle Paul writing to? If you look at verse 1, so if you turn back to your read section, which is page 12, the Apostle Paul is writing to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, this may seem like a pretty obvious, simple question, and it is, but I think it's important for us to clarify and to identify that the Apostle Paul is writing to the saints, and these saints are faithful in Christ Jesus. They're followers, or in other words, they are followers, faithful followers of Jesus Christ. They're faithful Christians. And so why is this important? Because we know that Paul is writing to Christians. Now, this letter is to affirm the Christians. So yes, the study of Ephesians is a very gospel-centered, and Ephesians can minister to non-Christians or unchurched people. So don't feel like, well, if you don't know Jesus, then Ephesians don't work for you. No, Ephesians will speak to non-Christians or the unchurched because it's very gospel-centered. But we need to understand that understand and know that the Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians in Ephesus. So he's writing to them. He has them in mind, and he's wanting to encourage them. Certainly, the Word of God will also draw people in with the gospel. So it's good to just clarify that, to know that going forward. So that's question number one in your study section. Question number two. Look at W1, which is your first word study. It's blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the word blessed, another way of understanding the word blessed be God, is praise be to God. I think the NIV actually translates it praise be to God, and the ESV translate as blessed be God. So I think this is a worthwhile kind of conversation as to why this is the case, looking at the word blessed. The second part of the question, how does Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 5 and Revelation chapter 4 verses 9 to 11 praise God? How does it praise God? So how does it praise God? I'm sorry about that noise. I have my Gmail on. Somebody's messaging me. I'm just going to close that. Okay. So how does Nehemiah 9:5 and Revelation 4 chapter 4 verses 9 to 11 praise God? And the third part of the question, why did they praise God? Fifth part, what does praising God look like at home, at work, at a celebration, while commuting, or with friends. So the very first part, Nehemiah 9:5, when you encourage you to turn to Nehemiah 9:5 and read it. And here you see people praising God, and the way they praise God is by standing up and blessing the Lord Jesus, the Lord your God. And then it talks about how blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and praise. Revelation 4:9-11 is the beautiful picture of the heavenly worship, where you see the 24 elders falling on their knees, the angels worshiping God and this Lamb worthy to be praised. So Revelation 4:9-11, we see they give glory and honor and thanks to Him. Then we see the 24 elders fall down before Him and worship Him. They cast down their crowns before the throne. So here Nehemiah and Revelation paints us a very vivid picture of what praising looks like. And so one question that typically people ask, and perhaps somebody in your small group might ask, or perhaps you're asking this question, is can we bless God as though God needed our blessings? So I'll say that again. Can we bless God as though God needed our blessing? It's a good question. In Ephesians, if we understand blessed be God as praise be to God, then it's not that we can bless God, but that it's because of who God is and what God has done that makes Him worthy to be praised, or in other words, blessed. So blessed and praise is how we should understand Ephesians. Ephesians 1, where the word blessed is being used, praise be to God. So we praise God by standing, or we bless God by standing, by falling on our knees, by giving thanks and honor back to God, by worshiping Him, whatever that might look like because of who He is and what He has done. And so that's the first sort of part of the question. And answer the second part, what does praising God look like at home, at work, at a celebration, while commuting with friends? So for our home, our work, at a celebration with our friends, this should be a thoughtful conversation. So small group leaders, or if you're listening to this and you're working through the book, use some time, just set aside some time and be thinking about this question. What should praising God or blessing God look like in these certain contexts? That's every day in our life. Don't allow this conversation with yourself or with your small group to be taken lightly. We worship God every day and in every situation. Praising, blessing God doesn't have to be exactly the same in every situation. And if you think it is, then I think that might be the reason why sometimes it trips us up with regards to what does praising God, what does blessing God look like. It's not always the same in every situation. So if you're a Christian who only understands praising God as a weekend thing, like it's only a Sunday thing or Saturday if you're going to church on Saturday, then maybe Ephesians week one study, at least it's our hope, that it would open your eyes to see how worthy is your God to be praised every day and in every situation, not just the weekend. So some examples, and I'll use a personal example, my wife's example. One example, my wife, her name is Brienne. One example that Brienne and I do is when it comes to celebration in the form of having people over to our home. So in the form of having people over in our home, we make it a point to either encourage believers with hard and thoughtful questions of faith, hope, and love. Or if it's somebody who doesn't know the Lord, we make it very intentional to, at the very least, find opportunities to not just shove our faith down in people's throat, but just to share stories, witness, and just be excited about who I am in Christ and what I'm doing in the ministry. So if it's with a Christian, if it's a believer and we're celebrating by having them over for dinner or lunch, we often ask hard questions like, how's your walk with Jesus? And being very intentional with that very question. How's your marriage? Are you struggling with doubts about who God is? And it's okay to ask these questions because by going deeper in our conversation, it allows us to pray, to praise God, and to leave the place to leave this place, at least in this case, leave our home with more worship for Jesus. So in our workplace, for example, we make it a point. So my wife and I, we make it a point, not about advancing in the ladder of success, but about building genuine relationship with people. So for example, Brienne, my wife, she's in school. She has a fellow student that many of the other students, they don't really like because she's kind of difficult to be around. So they see the student as difficult to work with, and therefore because it's in school and she's hard to work with, a lot of students are fearful of their grades or their marks being at risk, having to be partnered and having to work with this particular student. Now, Brini was assigned to the student, and as a Christian, she was faced with this very hard question. Do I hurt this person in order to have better grades? Or do I forget about grades and work towards some kind of genuine relationship with this student or this colleague of hers in order to minister to her the gospel? And so this is a really difficult dilemma. So Brienne has made it a point about relationships and not about grades, and that she's going into this relationship with the student, this peer of hers, fellow student of hers, with the point that it's about relationships and it's not about grades. And so no matter how difficult, how hard it is, she's saying, Brini is saying that I want to build relationship with her and it's not so much about grades. So just a few days ago, the student said to my wife while walking down the stairs at school, she says to my wife, "I love you, Brini." You know, and that's a very powerful message where someone is sees the genuine relationship that you provide, and it's not about grades, and says and acknowledges it and says, "I love you, Brini." You know, this is how we praise and honor God in school, our workplace, when we invite people over. But when we do these things and we make things about honoring God and praising God and blessing God, the response will always be it brings glory to God through our worship of Jesus. And again, worshiping Jesus looks very different, and it's not always the same in every context. So it's important for us to remember that. Question number three. Look at the word study two. Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places? Make a list of every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. This is what I kind of gathered, and if I miss one, I apologize. But if look back at the text, so as for yourself or with the small group, turn to read and just look at the text and find all the spiritual blessings that is listed in there. So this is what I have, or at least what I found in the text. He chose us in Him, who is Jesus, before the foundation of the world. He predestined us for adoption. We have redemption through His blood. We have the forgiveness of our trespasses. He blessed us in the Beloved. So we have all of these things, all of these things that are spiritual blessings in the heavenly places from God. So that's question number three. Question number four, how many times do you see in Him or in love mentioned by Paul? Why is it important that every spiritual blessing is grounded in both love and Christ? Now, I included for myself, I included in Him, in love, in Christ, in the Beloved. So I know the question says in Him or in love, but I also included in Christ and in the Beloved. And at least from what I see in the read section, a total of eight times those for that phrase or the prepositional phrase is being mentioned. So the second part to question number four, it's an important point the Apostle Paul wants to make because it grounds all Christians in the fact that we are and our identity comes from being in Christ. So we cannot earn this. We cannot take credit for this. We cannot only attribute who we are and all that we have. We can only attribute who we are and all that we have back to the very work of God through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. So it works both ways in that when we say it's the importance of seeing these spiritual blessings in Him, in love, it works both ways. One, we cannot take credit, and we must give glory, all the glory back to God. But also, it works in this way as well. And this is one of the things that people often forget is the second way it works is it works in such a way that it gives us great joy and excitement of who we are, of who we are. We are not people with nothing special, right? Sometimes we can be self-loathing. We can we just kind of want to wallow in our imperfections and our weaknesses. So we are not people with nothing special. We are incredibly blessed and special because of what you possess, because of the very thing that God has given you by grace through adoption in Him. So we are not losers. We are not cursed as Christians. We are not incomplete people. We are not weak people. But in fact, we are Christians with all the spiritual blessings from God in Jesus Christ. And this is the thing that we need to remind ourselves, and we need to remind our small group as well, is that you are made wonderfully. You have been redeemed. Your life has value. It is important not because of something you've done, but because of what God has done in and through you. So drive that home with your group. Drive that home in your own life. If you're struggling with self-identity, if you're struggling with whether your life has worth and value. So I hope that encourages you and also encourage your group. Question number 5, how is this relationship in Ephesians 1:1-10 different from other religions in the world? The answer is very general, and please, you can certainly go deeper than I am taking it. So this is a very deep question. You can certainly spend an hour. Feel free to do that in your personal study, or if you feel that your group can benefit from this. But I would encourage people to reflect on this question briefly in your small group, but also encourage them to go beyond it. In this study by going deeper on their personal time or with somebody else in the small group, outside a small group. So studying and understanding a bit of other religion is beneficial. I strongly believe it's beneficial. To mention a few differences between Ephesians 1:1-10 and other religions. One's adoption and blessings come from God who predestines. It is not this is not something you've earned, something you've done. It is solely the work of God who chooses us before the foundations of the world were even laid out. So this is to say that one cannot earn their salvation, but that salvation, adoption, blessings, forgiveness, inheritance, it all comes from the work of God. And that's the sort of the core of our faith and our salvation. Now, other religions, they are adamant on works righteousness, which basically means a person works to earn their status. The person works to earn their status. Like, if I want to be holy, I want to be acceptable, I want to be righteous, I have to earn these things. And that's not Christianity at all. At least we see that in Ephesians. So that's question number 5. I know it's very vague, very simple, but if you want to go deeper, please do that in your personal study. Question number 6. The last question, what is God's purpose for you in being blessed, chosen, predestined, redeemed, and forgiven in Christ Jesus? Of these spiritual blessings, which one do you least understand? Which one do you most understand? So look back at the scripture passage to answer this question. So go back to the read part. The purpose in verses 5-6, and it says, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the beloved. And also we see in verse 9, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. So verse 5-6, and also in verse 9, you see the answer to the purpose, or to the question of for what purpose. And so in other words, God does this so that the world, or so that He would be praised by all of creation, by us. The whole point of all of this is so that God would be praised, He would be exalted, He would be blessed. And God does this for this purpose. He does this for the purpose of fulfilling His plan to unite all things in Him. So it's really all about God. even the very things that we have in our life is for the purpose of exalting God. Everything we receive by grace that we did not earn, that is all for the purpose of exalting God. And it's Ephesians is all about God, 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 Christ, 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 exalting exalting who he is and what he has done. And so the third part of the question, use this last part of this question to identify where you are weak and strong, because you'll use that to minister and encourage others in your small group, which you'll see in the respond section. So that's the study part, six questions. I know it's long, so it's important for you to, in your group, pick and choose which one you want to study that would be beneficial for your group to build them up in the gospel. But also at the same time, encourage them to answer all the questions outside a small group as well. Utilize the memory section. Definitely spend some time in the respond section, going through some of it. I think one of the things that we should encourage ourselves and also the group is when we're dealing with one of the spiritual blessings that we're having, that we want to go deeper in, that we struggle with, encourage them to study, to identify which spiritual blessing are they weak in, and to wrestle with that, and to invite others to help them grow in that as well. So I just want to say, you know, Ephesians is going to be a great study, and I hope that your group, when you're going through the read or the introduction, the read, the study, the memorization verse, the respond, the prayer, the community, that you see it not as a you come together once a week for 2 hours and we try to get all of this done. You see, we need to see it as we are wanting to build significant biblical relationships that go above and beyond just the Sunday worship or just beyond the two-hour midweek gathering. We need to be looking at building significant biblical relationships throughout the week. So whether it's through prayer that connects us throughout the week, or whether it's community that's connecting us throughout the week, whether it's inviting others to help us go deeper in the Word, and to wrestle with some of the harder theological questions that we might have in order to grow, do it, invite it. Invite people, welcome this. So just want to thank you. So again, this is Ephesians week one study. I hope it's helpful. If you have any questions, please email me at ahy@willingdon.org. Week two, three will be released next week, and we're going to invite a couple of pastors, or even just one pastor, just to have a conversation with us when we get to the response section. So when we do the recording next week. So if that's confusing, I'm sorry. Just listen to us next for week two and three, and you'll kind of get an idea of where we want to go with this. We're all learning, and I just want to say thank you for your grace and for your patience with us. Blessings to you. Blessings to you. Amen.